You know, some of you may have followed this story as it developed, that I took the family to Disney World on Wednesday, my two older kids. And so some of you on Facebook, you've already seen pictures, but I know the rest of the church, you're like, what? I want to see these pictures. So real quick, I'm just going to show you a few pictures. I have no shame, okay? I'll say it. I'll show it. There you go. We went to Disney World on Wednesday. It was Rin's birthday. Tommy was most excited about shooting guns, so he stayed there for a while. Get to the last one. You thought it'd be like 150. So Rin, it's my daughter's birthday, and so you go to Disney World. If you haven't been to Disney World on maybe not your birthday, but a kid's birthday, they give them this button, and everywhere they go, everybody, you know, happy birthday. You know, it took Rin probably an hour to figure out that it's because of the button that they knew. Like, how does everybody know it's my birth? She was convinced Disney World, you know, it was about her, you know? Everywhere she went, anybody, you know, they're sweeping up there, hey, happy birthday, you know? The parade comes by and they're looking for the kids with the buttons, and happy birthday, and, you know, it's just this incredible thing for them, you know, this trip to Disney, And at one point, I remember I was thinking about how much effort goes in to make this place, you know, this fantasy world that it is. And I mean, it was something like 2,000 degrees. I'm not exactly sure, but it was somewhere around 2,000 degrees, and the humidity was 400%. And it in this parade thing, they're dancing like crazy. And there's this guy on stilts. And he's like dancing around on stilts for Rin, you know, like right in front of her. And I'm sitting there looking at the guy, and he's just dying, you can tell. Like, he's just sweating like a maniac. But he's got the biggest smile you can imagine, you know, and he's doing the dance moves. He's working so hard to create this fantasy for the kids. And at one point, we're waiting for one of the parades. You know, now it used to be, when I was a kid, I thought there was only one. But now there's like three parades, you know, that we get at Disney World. And we're waiting for one of the parades. And Tommy, my son, is, you know, he's getting excited. He's ready for the parade. And he looks at me and he goes, this is the best place ever. This is the best place ever. And you mean totally, since I'm like, I go, really? Like, this is it? This is, you know, you're pretty much. That's what he says. And it was in this place, you know, it was in this Disney World that I had this surreal event because I got the email about Kristen. And so I'm in this weird, I don't know, I'm still processing it. I'm in this weird place. I'm in this fantasy world of smiling people and, you know, this effort that's being put forward, and I'm struggling with this life, and I'm starting to think about, you know, all of the, what is it that we believe, and what's going on, and how am I supposed to respond to this? And so this is some background, just so you know, the way that I process things, okay? This is not necessarily right. I'm not saying that this is the way you got to do it, but for me, like, as soon as I get back, I'm reading. I'm just going after books. And so I've spent a good amount of time with one of my favorites, C.S. Lewis, just reading The Problem of Pain and reading about his, you know, how does he process it? And what does this mean for this life? And so that's kind of how I deal with it. But it's not right or wrong. And I hope nobody's offended by, you know, me intellectualizing what's going on, because that's how I process it. And it's not to demean, it's not to say that one way. Does that make sense? Okay, let me pray for us and get into some scripture, please, for the love of God. Let me pray. God, we pray that you would reveal truth this morning, Lord, that you would move us in ways that words can't, that you would move us to a place of trusting in you, hoping in you, having great expectations in you this morning. We trust you with our lives, and we ask that you would rule and reign in us, Lord, that your kingdom would be made manifest in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says this in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. You have experienced Christ in some way, that you have identified with him in baptism, in the death and the resurrection, that you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And it's hard to get across this. There's this one part in the scripture where it says, in the NIV, it's set your hearts on things above. In the ESV, it's seek the things that are above. And the NAS is probably the closest in the way that it says keep seeking the things above. And the idea here is that we are to press on. Seeking, it's a struggle, that it's something that we're supposed to maintain focus on, that we're supposed to keep looking after, this heavenly realm, that we're supposed to be thinking about what is going on above us, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, where, and this is all about the kingdom of God, because what he's saying is to remember that the kingdom of God, to keep it always before you, to keep your mind set on that thing, because the kingdom of God is more than we can ever imagine. The kingdom of God is incredible. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. What God himself has prepared for those who love him. Tommy says, this is the best place ever. His mind, he can't even conceive of anything better. And how often do we fall into that mindset of this is the best place ever? I don't know what that place is for you. Ben Ho Griffin Stadium for some of us. But you know what I mean? That place where we feel like, oh man, this is the best place ever. And Paul is saying, keep seeking the things that are above. Remember, always keep it in the forefront of your mind that there is a kingdom where Christ is right next to God and they are ruling. And there is a place, the kingdom of God, there is a kingdom of God. There is a rulership and reign where it is absolute and it is perfect. Where there is no crying, there is no mourning, there is no pain, there is no death. All of the things that are good in this world are only magnified in the kingdom of God. And we live in this weird place where the kingdom of God is real, but it's not fully realized here. The kingdom of God is real, but it's not fully realized here. And so when Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is here, that the kingdom of God is advancing, he's not saying that the kingdom of God is here and it's done. But he's saying that the kingdom of God has broken through in a way that before Christ, it had never broken through before. In a more powerful way than ever before. And an availability of the kingdom of God, of the rulership and the reign of God, was available to us, to anyone, to everyone, because of the work of Christ in a way that had never been before. And so the kingdom of God, which is his perfect rulership, it's fully realized in heaven, is now available to us today. And we've experienced it in pockets of the kingdom of God. And that's the way my mind works. When I'm praying, when I do prayer ministry, that's what I'm praying for, is I want a little piece of the kingdom of God right here. I want a little piece of the kingdom, but I want it to break through. I want a little piece, a little taste of what we know that place is like. I want to see healings. I want to see people changed and transformed. I want just a taste of the kingdom of God, which is fully realized in heaven, which is perfect in heaven. We are a church that believes and seeks that. We believe that. We believe we are focused. We look at this world and we go, you know what? The kingdom of God can break through. Someone is sick, the kingdom of God can break through. Someone is depressed and hurt and wounded, the kingdom of God can break through. Relationships are broken, the kingdom of God can break through. That's what we believe as a church. And that's when we pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we would have that little bit when God is in the rightful place, when God is ruling and reigning, things are right in a way that we only get a taste of in our everyday lives. And that's what we seek as a church. But we live in this tension, because if we talk too much about heaven, if we focus too much on heaven, then we might check out. We might check out in this world. Well, hey, Who cares? One day we're going to be in heaven. You know? Hey, you're hurting? One day you're going to die. You'll be in heaven. It's cool. You're good. Like, seriously, if we focus too much on heaven, we can just forget the things that are going on here. Why go into a district and help transform lives? Why? Why? Why delay the process of them going to heaven? Maybe we want them to go to heaven faster because there's a better place. You see, if we focus too much on heaven, we can have these distorted views and a distorted view of the hope of Christ. And we'll talk about that in a little while. There's a distorted view of the gospel of Jesus. It's more than heaven, though heaven is awesome. And that's the other thing. We don't want to emphasize on the other end of the spectrum. We don't want to focus so much on this life and bringing God's transformation in this life that we forget. It's passing. This life is not the end all be all. It's not the best place ever. And if we focus too much on this life, we begin to work so hard. We begin to work so hard to make it something that it was never intended to be. It's not intended until the kingdom of God is fully realized on earth. It's not going to happen. And the only way that's going to happen is through Christ's return. And we believe that. We absolutely believe that Jesus will come back and he will usher in changes. Okay, I don't want to get into any kind of theology. I don't want anybody to get upset. But we believe that Jesus is coming back and we believe things are going to be changed for the better. One way or the other. I didn't realize I was going to have to do that dance until just then. I was thinking, oh, I don't want anybody to get it. The bottom line is we believe Jesus is coming back. And at that point, things are going to change. But for right now, until that point happens, the kingdom of God will not be fully realized on earth. And if we focus too much on earth and we focus too much on these things, we begin to miss perspective. And Paul is saying, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since then you have this hope. Since you have a taste of the kingdom that is coming inside of you in the Holy Spirit. Since these things... set your hearts on things above. Keep in mind the kingdom of God fully realized in heaven. Don't focus so much on this life that you forget that there is a true kingdom of God that is lived fully realized. That this is not our home. I mean, this is all language from the scriptures. That this is not our home, that we are foreigners, and that we are looking for our true country. There's a homesickness that we all experience. And it's okay. It's okay to experience that. It's okay to be discontent in this life, to say there is a discontentedness that I feel because I don't think things are right now. And Jesus would say, been there, felt a little bit of it myself. I can identify with you. I have been where you are. C.S. Lewis introduces the language of the shadowlands. And he says, we live in the shadowlands, the place where we find ourselves today, where we pray for a breakthrough. We pray for the kingdom of God to break through. But you know what? When it happens, it's a pocket. It's a little bit of light. But there's still shadows. There's still things that we don't understand. We live in a land of shadows and light, illusions and reality, darkly lit landscapes. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Paul is making this point. He's saying, I can't answer your question. I can't tell you why the kingdom of God, sometimes it breaks through and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes people are healed and lives are changed and transformed. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way that you want it to happen. Sometimes we're praying for physical healing and next thing we know, we're healing a relationship that they had 20 years ago. We don't understand it. But now we don't know fully. Now we live in the shadow lands. We get glimpses of the truth of the kingdom of God. We get glimpses of what that land is like, but we live in the shadow lands. And we are gonna live there until Christ's return. In Hebrews, a lot of stuff in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, he talks about this idea that while everything is subject to Christ and what Christ has done for us, everything is subject to him, but we do not at present see everything subject to him. There's this, the divine discontent is the word. There's this, I am not happy, even though I know that he's on his throne. I know that things are not, people are not subject to him. Everything is not subject to him yet. I am in the shadowlands. I am in this land, this mixed place where I get to see pockets of the kingdom of God, but I don't see it fully exercised and fully realized. And he goes on in chapter 6 to say that we have only a taste of the powers of the coming age. This idea that, you know what? Again, as a church, we believe. We believe that you can have a taste. We believe the kingdom of God breaks through. And what Steve got to share, man, that was a taste of the powers of the coming age. Because you know what? In that age, there won't be any more sickness. There won't be any more pain. Is that our perspective? Is that my perspective? As I was going through it, do I feel that discontent? Or am I like, Tommy, this is the best place ever? There's times, man. I don't want Jesus to come back. I want to see my kids graduate and get married. I want to see whatever. I've got these plans. Whereas Paul, you know, is like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I should stay with you guys any longer because part of me just wants to go to heaven. I just want to be done. And like, I know that that's a better place for me to be. And to be honest with you, that's where I'd rather be right now. I mean, this is the kind of language that Paul uses. I would rather be in heaven than here. And I don't share that. You know, there are times when I might feel that way. But some of you right now, you're screaming, I have felt that. I have felt that. I have felt that divine discontent. C.S. Lewis at one point talks about it. It's like the scent of a flower that you've never seen. It's this idea that there is something that you feel like. There's a desire. There's a discontent. There's something more that you want. And nothing on this earth can satisfy it. And he says nothing on this earth will ever satisfy it. Because that is God calling us, reminding us that there is a real kingdom of God, a true country that God himself has built for us. Is that our perspective? Some of us this morning, we scream, yes, that's my perspective. And some of us, if I'm honest, I'm not. I'm not. Piper asks the question, are you so entangled in this world that death is the worst thing you could think of? Because that's not a biblical perspective. That's not the perspective of Paul, of the writer of Hebrews. That's not what we read about, that death is not the end. But are we so entangled in this world that that's the way we feel? And please, I'm saying I am wrong in my feeling, in my guts. That's not the way I feel. The heroes of faith that we talk about in Hebrews, you know, there's this list of heroes of faith, and there's this trend with all of them. Listen to this. In verse 11 or verse 10 of chapter 11, talking about Abraham, he says, Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward to a country that he had never been, but that he knew God was the architect, God was the builder. He had heaven on his mind. He had heaven on his mind, and that's what drove him. That's what he was pursuing. That was his mission. As he responded in faith, it was with that perspective. And he goes on, the writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 16, he says, the heroes of faith left their old country because they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That these heroes of faith that we talk about, he makes the point that they could have turned around at any point and gone back to their old country. But they had this other country on their mind. They had this heavenly perspective. The kingdom of God fully realized. They knew there was a place that God had prepared. I mean, that's amazing. It doesn't say that he got his angels to do it. You know, I just have pictures of God saying, well, what would Tom want? What would that place look like, you know? Some Star Wars posters on the walls. I wonder how he's going to deal with Kit, because she might not. But so he, you know, like that he has, that's my wife. She might not be happy about Star Wars posters. But he has prepared the place for us. And these heroes of faith, they had that perspective. They were pursuing this better country. And all the joys, everything that we experience in this earth are only a taste. They only remind us of that better place. Lewis says at one point that we should never mistake them for something else, of which they are only a kind of copy or echo or mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. That is what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that these heroes of faith, that was their perspective, that they had heaven on their mind, and because they had heaven on their mind, somehow they were able to make it through the shadowlands. They were able to press on, that they were able to push further in. We tend to think of earth as the real thing. This is the real thing. This is reality. But heaven is the real thing. We tend to think, you know, heaven is the surreal. It's not, you know, and this is the real thing. But the biblical perspective is different. It's the other way around. That earth is just an echo, a mirage. It is the shadowlands. It's not the real thing. Actually, heaven is the real thing. That's what we're really after. That's the reality that deep down in our souls that we desire, that we want. But heaven is an actual place. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." We absolutely believe this is a real place. The kingdom of God, this true country, is a real place that he has prepared for us, that he is the architect and the builder. Not clouds and fat babies with wings and harps and images like that, but it is the true country. It's what we were made for, what we will ultimately experience. It's everything that we could ever experience. Good here is only a taste of that place. Now the danger is that that's our only hope, like I started with. You know, I taught on the kingdom of God a year or two ago, and I spent a total of about 30 seconds on heaven. And I said, you know, oh, heaven's out there. But we're going to talk about the kingdom of God today. We're going to talk about how to pray the kingdom of God today. We're going to talk about what does that look like. Well, today I've talked about the kingdom of God and how important that perspective is. But that's not our only hope. And that's the danger, is that we go around door to door telling people, do you know where you go if you died? As if to say, well, Jesus came to give us this, you know, one-way ticket. That's awesome. Which is true. It's awesome. But that's just the beginning. There is so much more hope than just the hope of heaven. There is a hope in a God who loves us, that God would choose the name Emmanuel, God with us, that he would, the wonder of a God who would meet us in the shadowlands, that he would actually come and experience this place, that he would actually come and limit himself to be able to experience that. That's a God who loves us, who's willing to be able to relate to us. Again, the author of Hebrews, that we have a high priest that we can relate to. Why? Because he's been there. He's been in the shadow lands. He's experienced what it's like to see illusions and reality and only a shadow. We have a hope of a life to come. We have a hope of a life to come in the resurrection. You know what's awesome is, you know, the teaching of Jesus. If you take out the resurrection, oh man, that's good. That's good teaching. That's good philosophy. That's good whatever. But Jesus says, you know what? But anybody could say that. Anybody could even do some of the things that I've done. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you that what I am telling you is true, and that there is more to look forward to than just this life. And he chose to come back and to say in the resurrection, it's true. Everything that I've told you is true. Why? I proved it. I'm back. Paul says it when he says, you know what? If in this life we only could hope in Christ, then we of all people are most to be pitied. In other words, if all we had was this life, then, you know, I would be pitied. But we have so much more because of what we see in Christ in the resurrection. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's the resurrection. We have hope in the church. Believe it or not, we have hope in the church. The church is the vessel that God has chosen. The church is the place where we meet God. It's the place where we can be authentic and real, and we can come and say, you know what? I'm in the shadowlands this week, and it's beating me up. It's a place where we can rally around each other and remind each other of the good things that God has done, where we get to hear testimonies that God is still alive, he's still moving, he's still doing stuff. Guess what? The kingdom of God has broken through. in this area. It can break through in your area. Pray for it. Persist in prayer, believing that it can, because it can. The church, the place where we profess the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. And the hope that we have in the Spirit of God. The hope that we have in the Spirit of God. And this cannot be overemphasized. In other words, I can't err on the side of overemphasizing this, because Jesus himself says that he is going to send us a comforter. Why do we need a comforter? Because we're going to need comfort. Because while we're in this place, we're going to need comfort. And who's going to comfort us? God himself. God himself is going to come and he's going to dwell inside of us. Because of the work of Jesus, no longer the things that we do are going to hold God back from being able to dwell inside of us to comfort us. To comfort us. And more than that, the Spirit will be a deposit. A deposit of the things to come. A deposit of the kingdom of God. And think about this for a second, because the term deposit might get lost on you. You know, I have a house that I rent out. And when somebody signs the lease, they give me a deposit. They give me a check. They give me a taste of what's about to come. It is the real thing. It's money. That's what he's going to be giving me. It's the exact, it's not, you know, the contract itself isn't a deposit. Come on, man, you could have just signed that thing. But I actually get a piece of what is about to come. Why? It instills trust in me. It shows me that the guy who signed it, he really believes it. And he really has what he's telling me, because here it is, my deposit. The Spirit is a deposit on the kingdom of God. The Spirit is a taste, a piece of what we're going to experience in the kingdom of God. This is the language of the New Testament, real substance, that the Holy Spirit is a deposit. And so it reminds us that it's real, that the kingdom of God is a real place. And when we see the Spirit come to life in us and in other people, it reminds us that it is real. The kingdom of God is a real place that can break through here. Let's stand and just ask, what is it God has for us this morning? Let's ask him, this deposit that we have in the Holy Spirit, that he would speak to us and that he would comfort us, encourage us.